Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Lord, I just ask that today you make this something where it's not just like any other Sunday, Lord. That we come with expectations, God. Expectations to grow closer to you, to know you better, to love you better. And Lord, just help us to forget about all the bad going on right now. If there's anything that's distracting us, help us focus solely on you. Help us find that hope, that joy, and that peace that we know you offer us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You know, I read a thing today that was, or not today, but during the week, and I had already put out this song, and it made me think like, oh God, yep, that's exactly what that means, right? In an easy way for us to understand. And it said that if we just try to look more like Jesus every day, it's better than anything we could ever do to try to just make ourselves better. And at first I was like, okay, yeah, whatever. But then I was thinking about this song and I was like, you know, that's like a perfect way to say it, right? Because there's times where we think like, we gotta fix something. Oh, I gotta do this, I gotta fix this, which is great if you know that you gotta fix something, right? But this really cool thing happens when we just seek God and make Him the priority and focus in every single thing. See, He starts to bring forth things in our life for us. And He'll show us things that He wants to talk to us about. And not only will He speak to us, but He'll begin to change them in us, right? And sometimes we get so caught up with like, oh, we got to do this, 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 that we forget that what we really, really, really just need to do is focus on Him. 100%. There's times where we like to make things really difficult, right? But it's such a big thing when we realize that the only thing that we need is to go after God. That the more that we go after Him, the more He speaks to us. The more He speaks to us, the more you get to know Him. The more you get to know what He's got, who He is, who you are in Him. See, seek first the kingdom and all will be added. It's really, really as simple as that a lot of times. It doesn't have to be complicated about all the things that you gotta do to get to God. Just spend time. Just make it a priority to go after Him. And I guarantee it'll all be added. As He brings you things, He's adding. As He speaks to you, He's adding. As He weeds out, He's adding. It's all for your good.
Yeah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We speak of the kingdom. We do that a lot here, and that's a good thing. But what does that mean exactly? What does that mean? That means that there's a king that is enthroned, that has established a kingdom. But how does the kingdom work? I think if you've been in the church for some time, we've been kind of groomed or educated in the way that the kingdom works. And we think of revival. That's a good thing. We think of miracles. We think of these things that are wow factor things. But even Jesus talked about when he was actually scolding those asking Him for a sign. He's like, you guys want signs, you want miracles. And there's nothing wrong with that. But how do you perceive what you've seen, and how does that change who you are and how you live your life? The kingdom works in a way that sometimes I think is not something we want to accept, but it is something that's in the scripture. It's seed. Jesus talks about a seed. It's leaven. What is leaven? It causes bread to grow, but it has to work. It has to have time to be in full effect. A seed takes time to grow. It has to die. It has to be planted. And then there's this thing that we don't like. It's called waiting. We've been called to wait, right? Wait. So there's a mindset in waiting that I think that the Lord is, it has showed, it's in scripture. When he says, when it says in the word, by his stripes, we are healed. What we then tend to do is look for the evidence of that healing. We look at the symptoms of that healing. And sometimes we don't see that immediately. Does that negate what he said? By my stripes, you are healed? Does that negate that? Ask yourself. No, it does not. When he says you are healed, you are healed. The evidence may not be immediately seen. But what do you believe? It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means your mind has to come into agreement with what your spirit already knows. What the spirit testifies of in the word and in truth and in life, our spirit comes into agreement with that immediately. Here's an example. Many years ago, I think now decades, Pastor Henry, we were talking, and he started talking to me about some stuff that was, I would like to say, out there. We've heard him say some stuff that from a thought process is out there. But when you listen with the spirit ear, your spirit says yes. Your spirit gets a hold of it immediately because your spirit is in agreement with the spirit of grace, with the spirit of truth, with the spirit that is revealed in the word. But sometimes it takes some time for this thing up here to come into agreement with what we know is true deep in our belly, deep in the insides of us, which is our spirit man who is connected to the King and to the Father. You may be praying for healing or believing for someone else. I feel that is the important thing, is believing that what has been said, what you are speaking of and speaking to in healing, that you know it is done. When he was on that cross between those two thieves, he said, it is finished. It is accomplished. It is done. He did it. He did it. It's done. And now, instead of having a mindset of the first Adam, who didn't fully come into agreement with what his intention was, he was made in the image of Christ, in the image of God. He was made in that image. We are made in his image. We were made to function like the King. We're perfect, no flaws. Sometimes we don't act like that, but that's how we were made. That was the intent. That was the focus. Everything that he had, and he did not hold back on you when he was making you individually, spending time with you, creating you for such a time as this. I don't know what he's doing right now. But I know he's doing something. And I think he's awakening something inside. That seed that may have seemed to be dormant in your life, that promise that you feel like maybe has been silenced, that dream that has faded. I don't know. But I do know that the King that placed that dream, that the King that gave you that word, that the King that died, that you might have life and have it more abundantly on earth right now, not for some future later, but right now, that you would walk into that. And though you may not see it, like he told Thomas, you believe because you see. But blessed are those that believe and have not yet seen. I think that's what he's saying right now. It's blessed are those who believe and have not yet seen.
Amen.
Believe that seed, let him show you what it's going to look like. This big tree that has fruit, that provides shade, that gives sustenance to those that come around you. They will come to you. Believe that. The words that he's given, the dreams, the visions, they seem far away. They seem so close when they were given. But he says, wait. He is not a man. He does not lie. The things that he said, they will come to pass. So believe upon that. Live that way. Continue to speak those words. Continue to have those dreams. Speak them into the atmosphere. Speak into the atmosphere. Speak to the atmosphere. Yeah, it's hot. It's going to get hot, right? But he's called us to be weather changers. Why? What? What are you talking? What did he do when he was on the shore praying? The disciples were on the boat and it got crazy. And he just walked out there and he spoke to the weather, to the winds, to the storm. He was showing you, us, what it looks like to be sons of the King. I saw this, I'm sorry, but I saw this car the other day, and I don't want to get political, but it said no kings, you know, deport Trump, stuff like that. And I was like, what? Okay. And then I saw this article. It relates. I saw this article and it said, if Jesus was alive or if Jesus were here, he would be a Democrat socialist. And I laughed again. I didn't read the article. That's all I need to see. So I'm seeing these messages coming at me, right? And I'm not saying be a Republican or Democrat, because I'll tell you right now, Jesus is alive. And Jesus is here. So whoever wrote this or whoever said this doesn't know the King, because they would know he's here and he's alive. Number two, he's not a socialist Democrat. He's not a Republican. He's a King. He's a King, and you are all kids of the King. So without getting political, he's showing us how to operate as kings. You may not be living, having a mindset of a king right now, but that doesn't negate the fact that you're a king. David was anointed king. He did not actually walk into the kingship and that robe and anointing and being made king for another 20, 30 years. But when he was anointed king, he was king. You're anointed kings and priests and sons and daughters. You are that now. How hard is it, Becca, when you wake up in the morning, do you think about, oh, how do I be a son of Henry today, or a daughter of Henry today? What does that look like? What do I got to do to be a good daughter of, if I don't be a good daughter, then maybe I won't be a daughter of Henry today, and I got to go get revived so I can be a daughter. No, you just are. You wake up and you are. You don't have to think about going to mama and papa's house if they're going to accept you today because maybe you did or didn't do something what you should or should not have done. Guess what? You're going to go and they're going to have food and they're going to welcome you, and you're a daughter. And that's just how it is. That's just how it is. We don't have to try. We don't have to earn. We don't have to work. We don't have to try to make him proud. He's proud of you. He's proud of you. The King is proud of you. The first thing God said from the heavens to Jesus, before Jesus did any recorded miracle in this, before he did anything recorded of, that was miraculous. He probably did a lot, but it recorded in this word. He said, when he was baptized by John the Baptist, he said, this, he proclaimed to the world, this is my son. This is my beloved son who I am well pleased. He didn't have to earn that. He didn't have to deserve that. He just was that. Beloved. You are beloved of the Father. So just be loved. Just live knowing you are a son or a daughter. Live knowing you are the son or a daughter of the King. Not just a king, the King. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. That is your DNA. That is what is inside of you. Not the curses of the past. Not the hang-ups or the struggles. Not the strongholds that dad or mom or grandpa or grandma or whatever dealt with. Those are broken. I'm going to declare right now, those are broken. The line has been drawn. You step over right here, come into agreement with the truth. The struggle that you deal with, he's proud of you. He's proud of you, and he's taking you somewhere, and he's going to be with you along that journey. And at some point, you know, seek first the kingdom. I love that. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. That's a good start. That's a great start. But know this. At some point, when you walk with him on a daily basis, when you talk with him, when you let him talk to you, when you let his spirit guide you, when you let him pull you back, and when you let him redirect you, all of a sudden, the journey that you're walking along, the relationship that you become aware of, I'll tell you right now, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. You stop looking ahead at where you might be someday, or what might come someday, or what you don't have right now, and you start enjoying the fellowship and the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You begin to walk in what the truth is, what you may not see, but what you know to be true. What you know to be true. You will change your world when you let him change your world and your heart. And you know that, hey, no matter what comes, no matter what you're dealing with, you may be having an ailment or a broken relationship or whatever that might be. But if you know that he's with me and you allow him to show you things, then you can know that, hey, he said it, it's established, it's done. I may not see it, but I will see it. And what's important is the King is with me now, and I'm going to give him glory. And I'm going to enthrone the King with my praise. And I'm going to give thanksgiving. And I'm going to give worship. And I'm going to do everything I can this day, this moment, to honor the one who is deserving, the only one. Amen.
I want to testify to everything that that's we've been singing and what all he just talked about. I'm walking through in my life with seeking the kingdom and walking with the Lord. And so I planted a seed when I started walking with the Lord and I started coming here. I said, Lord, my goal is I'm giving everything up because I want to learn to love your love. And I want to learn what is that. And so I started planting seeds. And one of the seeds that I planted was a seed of redemption for my family, because our family's broken. And that seed is wiggling in the dirt and it's starting to come to fruition. And there's things that are, you know, the dirt's moving. And every time that, you know, every moment of the day and many moments, what I do is I turn and I seek his kingdom. I seek the Lord. And I seek him and I seek his kingdom. I seek his kingdom and I seek him and I seek him and I seek him. And then every day and then something else and I seek him. And as I seek him, things are added. Then more and more. And when I seek him, what he does is he cultivates my heart. And recently, he reminded me, you know, of you guys know, a lot of you, the journey about, like, with the roof. We were going through with the roof. And then at one point, my Lord said, why would I fix the roof when the roof is fixing you? And because it was bringing our family together in unity. And as that has moved on, we seek the kingdom. And I'll think that, like he just said, I'll think that I'll see something and this is going to be like this. And then God's like, come on, come on. This needs a little more cultivating. Come on, let's seek the kingdom. As I seek the kingdom, he changes my thinking. This morning he told me, daughter, restoration is greater than punishment. And I know for myself, my heart has wanted to, you know, like, don't you see what's going on? And he's like, no, daughter, come on, seek me as you seek me. I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you my heart for this situation. And as he shows me his heart, he shows me that, you know, my family is, he's a jealous possession of my family and he loves them. And so during this last week, the door has been opened to see my dad. And my dad is at a place called Villa Rosa. It's right here in Santa Tomas. And as I went to go visit him the first day, he says, you know, he sits there and he tells me, there's a you know, Deborah, that Catholic, that church, I think I want to go over there. And then my sister came and I could see, and, you know, I thought, oh. And then the Lord says, come on, no, you seek me. And I mean, it's like in every moment of every day, you seek him and he shows you how to walk and he shows you where your heart should be and he helps you. He changes your thinking and he helps you so kindly and so gently to walk as though Tommy was always testifying to right now. I can testify to you. I'm walking it out. And as he cultivates my heart and shows me his love, my dad said, then I went and visited him again and he's talked about the church. And I said, Dad, what are you talking about? Because he goes, I want to go to that Catholic church. And I'm thinking, I got scared and I thought, you know, they're going to close the door saying I'm putting things in his head and no, fear's a liar. And so then I said, Dad, what are you talking about? And he said, tell my friends at the church. I want to see my friends. And so I'm up here to extend an invitation to you on behalf of my dad. He's at Villa Rosa. It's right here, like, it's right here behind us, about 5 minutes. Like, I can put something on the bulletin board, or you guys can reach out to me. Visiting hours are from 8 to 11 or 1 to 3, 7 days a week. But he asked for his friends. And I don't know what God has in front of us for the restoration of our family, but I know it's a seed I planted, and I'm trusting God to bring it to fruition. And I'm thanking him every single day that I seek his kingdom, because he cultivates my heart, and he loves me so much that he's not willing to leave me in a place where I think I know what's best for my family, but instead he shows me, I love you, I love you, all of you. And restoration is greater than punishment. And so I want to thank you all that you know my dad. And if you go see him, please, he misses you all. Yeah.
Yes.
And he's asking for visitors. So thank you.
Something that Reuben said, what is the Lord doing? He's gathering his people together. He's answering prayers. Not all prayers, but some prayers. My son woke me up this morning. He said, "Are you sick? Are you going to church?" I go, "Yeah, I'm going to church. I'm not sick." And he sat on my bed and I said, "Come on, Renee, what's going on?" He said, "I've been taking Nicole to a tent revival out there in Valencia and Cardinal." And he told me that she literally gave her life to Christ and got baptized out there in the desert in a tent. So that was a prayer answered. She's been coming here, and she was disappointed that they had canceled the women's retreat here. But thank God that Renee's been taking her to the tent revival, and the Lord reached down to her, and she says, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to burn in hell. I want to be saved." So the Lord reached down to her and saved her soul. So he is answering prayers. Not all yet, but some. I got two aunts that are doing hospice that I'm helping with. One's 95, one's in her 80s. And they're both saved. They gave their life to Jesus Christ. But this is my testimony, that the Lord is reaching out to his people. He's healing people. He's answering prayers. It's time to stop playing church. Church is not going to save us. If we come to church, we got to apply it to ourselves. I want to make it to that tree of life. So I'm letting the Lord do what he has to in my life. Thank you.
So, I actually copied this verse before Tommy started speaking, but when I started hearing him talk about dreams and visions, I knew I had to come up here and share this. But last week I wasn't here because I was at a friend of mine. I was at his church and I was preaching. And one thing I saw... Yeah, I was at my friend's church. I told you. So, one thing I saw there is he actually had a moment. And you know what that moment was? It was what we have here at this church. It's like, does God have something that he put on your heart to share? And it just made me think, it's like, you know what? God really is doing something. He's doing something in churches. You know, the thing is that God doesn't want it where you just look to a pastor to get what it is you're going to, like, survive on through the week. All right? That's for people that come every Sunday. Right? God wants to have a personal relationship with you. In the book of Acts, there's this scripture. It's chapter 2, 17 to 18. And it says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. All people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy." That means you're going to speak about God, right? "Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy."
Yeah.
You know what? If God puts something on your heart, make sure you share that. Make sure you know God well enough that you are actually speaking his word to other people. It says that he's going to pour out his spirit on how much of the flesh? All, right? On all people, right? So, like, all of us that believe, this is a prophecy that's come true back in the book of Acts, right? This started in Joel. So, let me just encourage you. There's a reason why he's given us his spirit. He gives us dreams. He gives us visions. He gives us this wanting to speak about him and his word. It's so that you actually participate in the plan that he has for your life. Now, I was also asked this recently. It was like, are you ever nervous going up there talking? And you know what? It's been a long time since I've been nervous. I can mess up. I'm okay with that, right? I could look like a fool in front of people for saying the wrong thing, right? Like last Sunday, I corrected myself when I said something, right? But the thing is this. I look to this scripture in Galatians, and it says this. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. I'm here to please God. Amen. You know, when Book of Isaiah is like, here I am, send me. Here I am. I'm doing what God asked me to do. I'm looking for the approval of God. I'm trying to make sure that what I did was what God wanted me to do. So if any of you has something in your heart to share, don't be afraid, especially amongst believers, right? Don't think about like, well, I don't speak well. I thought that, right? I thought, you know, who am I to teach these other people? They probably know more than me. You know, the first time pastor asked me to do a Bible study, that's what I felt. That's what I thought. But the thing is that each one of us is unique, and we're that way for a reason, because we have our unique role to play. We have that unique knowledge that he's given us, that unique insight, that unique revelation nobody else has. That's because that's how much he loves you and cares for you. He said, you know what? You are special. I have this for you to share to the world. I have this for you to share to people to build them up and encourage them. You are so valuable. I need you. I want you there. I want you to do what I've called you to do. And that is for each and every one of us. So don't miss out on the amazing things that can happen in your life, because you might be a little scared about what people think. Okay? Don't care about what people think. Okay? Just do what God's telling you to do.
Amen.
That's right.
Woo! Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm here to...
Is this
on?
I don't know what it is.
Okay.
It's Matthew. Right. Matthew 5.
I know you guys are. Okay. Anyway, I just want to give a quick testimony. First of all,
last check.
As next some time. Of you know, as Pastor knows and everyone on the prayer team, my mom recently went in to the hospital for a foot infection, and what happened was the infection actually started to spread from her foot all the way up to her leg here, about here, and so the doctor was excuse me. Okay, yeah, so the doctor talked about the possibility of having to do surgery on her foot. She had already had amputations done on her foot in the past because of this issue with foot infection, but this time it reared its ugly head again. So, so she was already missing her big toe on her left foot, but this time around they had to they decided to take off the rest of the toes on her left foot to stop the spread of the infection. And so they ended up having, so they ended up doing that. The surgery was a success and they stopped the infection. But I'm just here, up here today to, as an extension of thanks from my mom to all you guys, thank you oh so much for your prayers and your support while she was going through this, and it's just, it blesses my heart to know that the body of Christ is a group of people that loves, cares, and is there for each other in everything that we go through in this world. We're here for one another, and I just want, she just wants to extend her gratitude through me to you guys for being there for her. So thank you very much.
Come on, praise God. Yeah. How many of you are glad that you're in the kingdom of God? Amen. Is that right? You know, I just want you to, I want you to look at something. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What, can you put that up, Terry? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see that? You can't separate the kingdom and the righteousness of God. You cannot. His kingdom is full of his righteousness. Can you say amen to that? Come on, hallelujah. So know that. I want you to, do you know that the kingdom of God rules over all? Do you know it? Are you sure that you know that? Because when you're sure and you are without a doubt confident that the kingdom of God rules over everything, then you won't be afraid of going through stuff. Can you say amen to that? I mean, you don't have to have fear. You don't have to be nervous about what your bank account looks like. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, you don't have to, because the kingdom of God rules over all. Can you put up Psalm 103, Brother Terry? This is what the Word of God says. Psalm 103, verse, I think it's the first one I gave you, bro. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. 103, verse 19. The Bible says here, the Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens. Is that okay? And his kingdom rules over all. How long has this kingdom ruled all over all? Forever. Ever since he created the heavens and the earth. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, so I would just say to you that this kingdom that we're in, it's an unstoppable, unshakable kingdom. And there is a never-changing person that is in charge of this kingdom. Can you say amen to that? Ooh, hallelujah. I like this song. I want to sing it one more time. Can we do that? Let's sing this song one more time. Let's seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. What all? The righteousness of who he is and what he's doing will be added to you. Is that okay? Yes. Come on, hallelujah. That's who he is. That's why he says seek it first. There's some firsts in the Bible, but when you look at the first, it's going to be about him and his kingdom. Can you say amen to that? First thing he did when he came out of being tempted after being baptized, first thing he did when he came out, he says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Can you say amen to that? Praise God. Let's sing this song one more time, because I love it. And this is what God has got me focused on nowadays. For whatever reason, I don't know what's going on. But I said, God, this is last week, right? Didn't we do this last week? He says, yeah, it's different this week. Can you say amen to that? It's going to be different. Randy came in with a teaching about the kingdom of God. Is that right? Yeah. And Moa, I loved it. And it started stirring something in me. It started pushing something. Hallelujah. I began to realize that God is looking at his people and he's looking for the kingdom. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. So let's sing this song one more time. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How much is all?
All.
How much is all?
All.
All will be at. Is that right?
That's right.
Everything. All of what? Everything. Whatever it is. All of what? Come on. Woo. Hallelujah. I will tell you the righteousness of God can be what we're at. He's already put it on you, but he wants you to know about it. He wants you to understand what he's given you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Seek the kingdom and know him. Can you say? When you seek the kingdom, you will know. He will show you. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All will be added to you. You are not lacking. You have more than you realize. You have more than you know. Can you say amen to that? Look at your neighbor and say, you got more than you know. Brother, you got more than you know, sister. Hallelujah. It's already there. It's already within you. God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Where is it at? Where is it? I don't see it. It's in you. Can you say amen? It's in you. It's within you. It's in you. It's in you. And it's not going to leave. Hallelujah. It's not going to leave you in a lurch. It's in you. It's in you. It's in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo.
Yeah.
The King is in you. The kingdom is in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. All will be added. All will be added. Everything you think you need and everything that you don't even know you need, it's added. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I better start preaching. Otherwise, I'm going to keep you here all day because I can dwell in this presence. Can you say amen to that? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Can you say amen to that? Can you believe that's Old Testament? That don't sound Old Testament. That sounds right now to me. Can you say amen? Woo!
Woo.
Dwelling in his presence.
Yeah.
Knowing God. Understanding him. Getting to know him better and better and better. Can you say amen to that? I love it, man. I thank God for it. I want to look at Romans chapter 11, verse 36 says this. Check this out. It's his kingdom. Is that right?
Yeah.
Title of this sermon is, Lord, Your Kingdom Come. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? You know, we've heard this all. I've heard it ever since I was a little boy in catechism. It says, is it the Lord's Prayer? And it says, Lord, Your Kingdom Come. But I want you to think about it as a prayer. Because he said to pray it every morning. Is that right? He said to pray it every day. He said to pray this prayer. How do we pray? Well, just say it like this. And he said, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. And, you know, our Father, which art in heaven, better not forget that. You know, we can't forget that. Our Father. Everybody say it with me. Who art in heaven. Hallowed. Holy. Separated is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. Is that right? As the big important part, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us
from evil.
For thine is the kingdom. Thine is the
power.
Thine is the glory forever and ever. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Now check out the scripture. For of him and through him and to him are all things.
Amen.
To whom be glory forever and ever. All things.
Yeah.
God created the heavens and the earth. He created all the elements for the heavens and the earth. Can you say amen to that? See, ever since creation, God has been in control because he created this thing we call earth. He called this universe we live in. God is who he says he is. He's bigger than we can even think. And it says, for of him, through him, and to him are all things. Is that right? Yeah. Folks, I will tell you, I don't know if you guys pray for your car, but I do. I put my hands on my car. I put my hands on the dashboard. I talk to my car. I tell it, you know what? You're a good car. You did me from here to there, and you don't complain. Thank you. Woo. See, because those elements that God created are within that car. Can you say amen to that? It's a crazy way to think of things, but that's okay. In a way, it is being grateful for everything God has given me. Is that okay? I'm grateful that he's given me. Oh, hallelujah. I'm grateful he gave me my wife. Come on, man. Hallelujah. I'm grateful of my children and my children's children. I'm grateful.
Yes. Praise God.
All things. For of him and through him and to him are all things. All things. Then he says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Come on. And his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God is good. How many say amen? His word is good. Hallelujah. I thank God for tent revivals. Who is that? Who's talking about tent revivals? Mercy. I thank God for tent revivals. I got shook up in a tent revival. Is that okay?
Amen.
Well, folks, you can get shook up in your closet. Can you say amen to that? You could be watering your grass, watering your flowers, and you can get shook up. Amen? Because the Spirit of God can do, if your heart is hungry for God, I will tell you, God is seeing it. And he says, I think I'll just touch that boy or that girl right now where they're at. You'll be in Safeway looking at cottage cheese, and all of a sudden, whoa, what are you doing, God? It's just cottage cheese. But oh, I like cottage cheese. Woo! Hallelujah. See, God desires that we know him more and more and more and more, because he's too big. He's very big. He's so big we can't figure him out. But I'll tell you what. What he wants to give you is what you need. Amen.
Amen.
Come on. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Like I said, our message today is, Lord, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. I mentioned something last week, and I felt the Holy Spirit on it. I felt him jab me. You know what I mean? It's like, Henry. And I said something, and I had somebody asked me afterwards too, and I said, yeah, we're going to talk about it. Maybe we can get together and we'll talk about it. But one of the things I said, see, for whatever reason, we think sometimes, and being raised in church and everything, sometimes we think that just Christians are of the kingdom of God. Do you guys know that? Sometimes we just think that. But I'm here to tell you today that when the Holy Spirit just nudged me, and I want to bring up that scripture, Terry, if you will, in, I guess it's Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. I want you to look at this just for a minute. The Pharisees, how many know the Pharisees were bugging Jesus? Is that right? Anybody ever have somebody bugging you? Yeah? Almost get annoying to you? But Jesus was one of those persons. You had to do a lot to bug him. Is that right? You can see in scripture where he got kind of bugged. Is that right? When they were selling stuff in the Father's house, he wasn't happy about that. Do you remember that? He went kicking down tables. He went postal on them. Come on, man. And then it says, this is what it says. And when he was demanded, do you like being demanded upon? When he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, now I want you to notice, these were the Pharisees. The kingdom of God comes not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. How many believe that? Do you believe? Do you know that every person walking on the earth, doesn't matter what they're doing, the kingdom of God is in them? You see, because this is an overwhelming, everlasting kingdom. Anything that God created, because he's the king of this kingdom, is in the kingdom. The sun, the stars, the moon, the grass in the field, everything, all of it is in the kingdom. Is that okay? Are you okay with that thought?
Yes.
Because for some reason, we think that just Christians are in the kingdom. No. That's incorrect. The kingdom is in everybody. Everyone. Is that okay? Are you okay with that? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. You don't have to agree with me. Like I said, go home and read your Bible and check me. Look at the scriptures. Say, hey, man, I think our pastor's lost it. Isn't that right, Tommy? We got some things way out there. Is that what you said? Were you talking about me this morning? We talked about stuff that was way out there back then. And you hear it all around now, won't you? Come on, man. See, God has a way. See, I will tell you, listen, there's a thing about pastors and teachers. There's a thing about it. And I think I didn't put this in the lesson, Terry, so don't worry about it. And it's in Peter. And he's talking about having a forward mind. Having a mindset that's forward. Well, what do you mean forward? What are you talking about, God? What's forward? You see, the word for ready mind, the word ready is protothumia. The word, two words together make up the Greek word protothumia. And protothumia has a connotation, I guess. It's what it describes is a ready mind, a mind that goes out first. Is that okay? You guys understand that? So a ready mind, proto, I mean, just the word proto, protothensis and all, I mean, I don't know what I was saying. But proto means first. Proto is first. First. So a person with a ready mind, you get out there and you look at the Word of God. And I will tell you, as a pastor and even as a youth pastor, God had me looking at things that were out there that were different. And God was showing me certain things. And I was like, God, nobody talks like this. Nobody says. But I found out later on that some people do talk, that people that are seeking the Lord, they're hearing some of these things because God is revealing them to them. A shepherd has to have a ready mind. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
A shepherd. I'm talking about a real shepherd. One with well, not maybe not today, because I don't know how they do it today, but back in when Jesus was in the world, there was a shepherd and they had to go in, open the gate, let him out of the pen, and then go find him some food and some water. Is that right? He had a mindset that would, well, I'm going to take you over here. I'm going to let you eat over here. I'm going to let you drink right here. But he knows those sheep are going to eat that up, right? So he's got to be looking ahead so that he can find another place for them to feed. And then another place. So he's got to have a ready mind, a mind that arrives first. There are things that God has been saying to the body of Christ that sound kind of crazy. Can you say amen to that? I sound crazy most of the time. Isn't that right? You guys think I'm nuts, don't you? But it's okay. It's all right. The Bible says to speak what you know. And all I can do is speak what God gives me. I can't speak anything else. Don't ask me about end times. He's not talking to me about end times. He's talking about the kingdom. He talks to me a lot lately about kingdom of God. And he wants us to understand that the kingdom of God is, it's over everything. That his kingdom, no matter where you go, I don't care who you are, wherever you are, I don't care who you're with, you're in the kingdom. Is that okay? The worst guys out there, what do they call those guys that are in Mexico that attack people and stuff? The cartel. They don't know it, but they're in the kingdom. Can you say amen to that? You guys go, oh, wait a minute. No, they're not. No, they're not. Oh, yeah, they are. They are in the kingdom. I want you to hear some of these things. Acts chapter 17, verse 22 to 30. I want you to hear this. This is where Paul is in Greece. And he's in Athens, Greece, and he's they're listening to him talk, and they go, man, who is this guy? He seems to be somebody that's bringing forth these strange things about a man dying and being raised from the dead. So they wanted to hear him speak. And Paul's noticing some of the headstones they got. There's a headstone in there that says, to the unknown God. And Paul's saying, oh man. To a lot of people, he's an unknown God. Can you say amen to that? He is not known. The cartel don't know him. If they knew him and how great he was and how powerful he is, they would submit. They would give their hearts to him. But he sees this, and he's on what's called Mars Hill. And so I'm going to bring you to that right now real quick. Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. Him I declare unto you. Isn't this good? Paul said, man, you ignorantly worship this because you don't know. He wasn't called them stupid. How many of you know that ignorant don't mean dumb? Is that right? It just means that you don't know. I'm pretty ignorant when it comes to building a rocket and sending it to the moon. I'm pretty ignorant on that. I don't know how to do it. Got no idea. Doesn't mean I'm dumb. Is that right? You say you're dumb. Are you guys telling me I'm dumb? No, I'm just kidding. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth. Look at the words. He's Lord of heaven and earth. Dwells not in temples made with hands. Neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Seeing that he gives life to all and breath in all things, and has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. You see, the kingdom of God rules over all. Is that right? That's what's being said here. Do you see it? Do you understand what Paul is saying to these guys? There is one God. I'm getting ready to declare him to you. He's made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him. How many of you remember before you knew God? Does anybody remember? Or is it a blur? All that sin y'all were doing. No? Hey, it's a joke. I'm sorry. You guys don't hear me. Sorry. Do you remember when you were a sinner? And how all of a sudden you were feeling, there's something changing in me. There's something happening, and I don't know what it is. That was God drawing you. If somehow you would feel after God, there's something about your feelings that you were saying, I need something, but I don't know what it is. Some of you, like I was at the bottom. I was at a place where I couldn't see any way out. Even my mama, told my wife to divorce me. I said, what? Mom, I thought you loved me. Come on, Mom. Don't tell my wife to divorce me. That's how bad I was at the bottom. And that's where I began to feel after God. That's where it began to shake me up that my life was about to change in a major way that I didn't want it to. And that's when I went after God. That haply you should seek the Lord, and haply they might feel after him and find him. And I found him, though he be not far from every one of us. Oh, he wasn't far from me. He was actually the one drawing me. For in him we live and we move and we have our being. Can you say amen to that? See, his kingdom rules over everything. where are we at? Oh, in him we live and move and have our being as the... Sorry, Terry, I'm messing you. As certain of your own poets have said, for we are his offering, for as much we are his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold. I want you to look at this scripture. Paul is talking to the men of Greece, and he's telling them, all of us, we are all his offspring. Can you see that? See, what I'm telling you, see, by two or three witnesses, the word will be confirmed. Is that right?
Yes.
And what I said to you earlier, where the Pharisees was told by Jesus that, hey, the kingdom of God is in you. Because you operate and you cannot move around on this planet without him. Can you say amen to that? The Bible says in Job somewhere, I don't even know where it's at in Job, but Job declared that if God was to remove his spirit from the earth, that everything would die. Wow. He supports all things. He supports you. Wow. He'll never forget you. You've been engraved on his arms, on his hands. Is that what the word of God says? How has he engraved? They had one crazy way of engraving back then. It was a big nail through their hand. You've been engraved upon his hands. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Oh, he just said something. With that said, how shall he not freely give you everything? Can you say amen to that? He'll give you what you need. Hallelujah. We are his offspring is what he's telling these guys in Greece. What? They don't know God? Yeah, well, too bad. Well, he's giving them truth. He's pouring out truth about God. He says, for we are his offspring, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold, silver, stone, graven art, and man's device. And the times of this ignorance. Can you say ignorance? Everybody say ignorance. Yeah, okay, that's not it. Okay. Everybody say ignorance.
Ignorance.
All right, that sounds better. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at. Do you know God winks? I used to wink at my wife. Well, she wasn't my wife. She was a girl I liked. I'd kind of wink at her. She paid no attention to it. She got something in your eye, boy? No, yeah. Yeah. You. Yeah. You're always in my eye. You see, the time of this ignorance, the Bible says right here, God winked at. But it now has, I like this word, commanded. All men everywhere to do what? Repent, turn around. Is that right? Go the other way from what? Is that right? He's commanded it. See, I like it when God commands things. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
I like it when God commands things.
Yes.
Command ye me, Lord. Tell me what you want me to do, and I'll do it. Come on. I want you to be a pastor. I don't want to do that.
Yes.
Command me, Lord. I like when he commanded the light to shine in the darkness. Is that right? I love it. You know, the Bible says that God has commanded your strength. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Man, that scripture right there, I grab a hold of it and I hold on with both hands, with my feet wrapped around it. I hold on to it tightly because it is important to me that my strength is commanded by the Lord. Can you say amen to that? That's why I will not get up and say, hey, I'm too tired to do anything today. I might get up and say, I don't want to do anything today. But I will not say I'm too tired because my strength has been commanded. I'm directly controversial. I'm being controversial with what God said. I commanded your strength. So I won't say I'm too tired. Amen? Come on, man. This ignorance, God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Repent. Hallelujah. When Jesus came out of the desert. When he came out of the desert, he began to preach. In Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, this is what Jesus was saying. One of the first things that came out from Jesus. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. It might sound like a contradiction, but actually it's not. Because all men, Jesus earlier, or not earlier, but later on, told everybody the kingdom of God is within you. But now he's saying that it's at hand. It's close to you. It's accessible. You can get a hold of it if you want it. Can you say amen to that? There's a whole different, see, when Jesus, when he told them the kingdom of God is in you,
yes.
It's not a choice, folks. You don't have a choice when it comes to that. You are here by his design. He designed you. He gave you breath. Yeah, some nurse might have smacked you, but your breath and everything about you came from God. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
It's not a choice whether you're in the kingdom of God. It's your design. You understand? It's who you're designed. You're in his design in this kingdom. But this kingdom is at hand. So what we want to do is take it from just outside of what we know and bring it in. Is that okay? This kingdom needs to come in. He says it's at hand. So how do you get in to the kingdom? The first word, he said, repent. Repent. Turn away from your sin. Is that right? Can I tell you this? That the kingdom, the way the kingdom operates, and I've said this before, and some folks don't really get what I'm saying, but I'll get this across to you, that the kingdom of God, is self-executing. Self-executing. Is that okay? And it sounds like you stand somebody up at a wall and point a gun at him and shoot him. But no, I'm not talking about that. We're talking about the kingdom of God and how it is self-executing. Because the laws of the kingdom, see, whether we believe it or not, if you're born again, you are not under the law. Is that right? The Old Testament, I love the Old Testament. I love reading it and everything. But see, I'm not under that old law. I don't have to bring a lamb. Is that right? Anymore. Because the lamb has been slain for me. Is that right? The Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. We, with God, folks, listen. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, right?
Yes.
Has made me free from the law of sin and death. Is that okay? Do you remember that?
Yes. Amen.
The understanding that we have of God and what he's doing in our lives needs to be very personal to us. Is that okay? We need to know what he's saying. We need to know how he's leading us. When he says the kingdom of God is at hand, and he tells us to repent, because the Bible says that sin separates us from God. Is that right?
Right.
When you're operating in sin, you are operating contrary to the kingdom of God that's within you. Listen to this, okay? If you've been born again, you cannot operate contrary to the kingdom that's within you. You might see it in John, where John says, he that believes does not sin. Have you seen that? Because the kingdom of God is within you. The Spirit of God dwells in you. You're complete. You've been made complete because you stepped through a door. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. You stepped through a door. Remember when Jesus said, I am the door. Yeah. I am the door of the sheep. You stepped through a door. It was Christ. There was a wall or a door between us and God. But when we repented, that door swung fly open. We believe that Jesus walked in. Is that right? Yeah. Do you understand that?
Yes.
That's the kingdom. This is where we go to, and we find out that God has opened all things up to us. You step in, you receive the kingdom. It's cool. Now it's within you in a new way. Is that okay? It's new. It's new in you. The old man has passed away. All things become new. Is that right? How many want the old man to die in your life? You gotta resist him. Every time you want to do something that's contrary to the kingdom within you, you've got to say, no, I'm not going there. Because the kingdom of God is self-executing. Do you understand that? It executes good things, and it also executes things that we might say aren't so good. You see, because the Word of God says this, and Terry, if you would, put up Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. Do you see that what I'm talking about, it self-executing? What you sow, you're going to reap it. Is that okay? Know that. Next time you go to chew somebody out, just remember, well, what I sow here, I'm going to reap it later. Maybe I just better not sow it. Is that okay? You understand what I'm saying? It's self-executing. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit, I don't know if you guys are understanding. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You see, the kingdom of God is self-executing. Let's look at another place. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Check this out. To some of you tightwads, whatever, in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Everybody say, hey, don't get mad at the pastor. You tightwad, yeah. But this I say, he which sows sparingly. Listen, what does that mean?
Giving.
He that sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he that sows bountifully will reap bountifully. You see, the kingdom is self-executing. It does for you when you meet the credentials, when you do as a kingdom, your mindset is set on the kingdom, you do as the kingdom does, man, guess what? Things are flowing.
Yes.
Do it the other way and watch things dry up. Can you say amen to that? How many want your income to dry up? Give, and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give into your bosom? I talked to a guy on the airplane a week ago, coming back from Chicago to Tucson. My wife was behind me, in the seat behind me, because we couldn't get seats next to us. So there was a guy sitting next to her. And I said, sir, hey, that's my wife sitting. Would you mind? I'll trade you seats. Or you can sit up here if you want. Like, I was right in front of her. Can we trade seats? Are you by yourself? He looks at me and goes, no, his wife was on the other side of the aisle. I go, oh, okay. That didn't work. So I'm waiting for the guy to come in, sitting next to me. And he comes in, he sits down. And first thing out of his mouth, he says, I got a straight shot to the restroom. He's not going to want to give up his seat. So I was stuck there. But we began to talk, and we had a great conversation. A couple of times he almost broke out and wept because I was telling him about what the Lord does. What the Lord does. He's a well-off guy. He owns a salvage yard in New Jersey. And he had about 10 years ago purchased Portland Cement. And I'm sitting next to this guy. He looks like just some regular guy. And we're talking about work, and all of a sudden it turned into things about the Lord. He's Catholic. He's coming to Green Valley to visit some friends from New Jersey that moved here. And we began talking. And man, he gets up when we're getting ready to leave, and Rosie tells him, "I'm sorry, I heard my husband. He'll talk your ear off." Thanks a lot, honey. By the way, that's my wife. Yeah. Check the mail the other day. That guy sent us some money. Is that crazy? You see, he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit, woo, hallelujah. Can you say amen to that? His name is Scott. I'm looking forward to seeing Scott Anderson in this church. He says he's going to try to stop by one of these days. From New Jersey? Are you kidding me? Just come to church? You can afford it, bro, right? Come on, man. While you're here, let's talk. Isn't that right, Tommy? Come on, man. Hallelujah. You see, these are laws. And if you follow them, these are laws of the Spirit of God. If you follow them, you're going to be blessed. But act contrary to them, then things slow down in your life. Can you say amen to that? Because God's got to instruct you. He's got to take some time to get you instructed. Because he loves you, but he doesn't want you to live where you're living. Is that okay? Sin is a destroyer. It even says in the scriptures, and this is a pretty weird word, it says, whatever is not of faith is sin. Wow. Where do you get that from, God? What are you talking about? Do you know why to us? Because we are people of faith. We believe God. Hallelujah. So everything you do, do it in belief of God. Can you say amen to that? Repent. Go through the door. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 9, read this. Heal the sick and all that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is unto you. One of the greatest things to say to somebody who gets healed, say, the kingdom of God has touched you. You've been touched by the kingdom. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Not, yeah, I prayed last week, and I saw you in my prayers, and I come down here to pray for you. No, man. Just pray for them and walk away and watch God do something. Tell them that the kingdom of God has come to you. Hallelujah. Is that okay? Romans 8:29 says this. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. See, you are predestined, if you will. I talked about predestination last week, a little bit about it today again, because the Holy Spirit has been talking to me about the glory of God and the kingdom of God and predestination, how it works. You see, you were predestined before the world began. Do you know that? He knew you before the world began. He predestined you. And in that predestination, he predestined you to become conformed to the image of his dear son. Can you say amen to that? Because he is everything that God intended upon all of us. Can you say amen to that? Adam and Eve, every boy, woman, girl, man. I don't know what else to say. Hallelujah. He intended it all. It was intent that all would know him and become this image of Christ. But isn't it something that in his word, when Jesus was speaking, I'm going to bring you to Matthew 7:21 through 23. I'm going to say, not everyone that says to me, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is heaven. Can I tell you what the will of your Father, of the Father is to get into the kingdom of heaven? It's to believe with your heart that Jesus died for you. He washed away your sins. He paid for them. And he rose again to the Father. That's the will. That's what he wants you to do. And then there's other things he wants for you, but that is the thing that gets you into the kingdom. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess to them, look at what Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. You see, his intent, his predestination on your life was to be conformed to the image of Christ. The image of Christ is sinless. No sin. Is that right? That is the greatest way to live your life. Do you know that? Sin is not fun. People will say, well, sin is fun. Yeah, well, it's fun for a season, but then you're going to reap corruption. Can you say amen to that? That's what we just got through looking at, that sin is not good for you. It's not going to help you. Righteousness is going to take you a long way. Can you say amen to that? He tells those, I never knew you, because he knew I thought God knows everybody. Is that right? We say, well, God knows everybody. What do you mean, God, you never knew him? See, God had a predestined intent on every person here, all of us. And that predestined intent that we be conformed to the image of Christ, that Christ would dwell in us richly in all wisdom and understanding. Can you say amen to that? He wants you to know how deep this thing goes within you. It does everything for you. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to work out. Is that right? Although I need to work out. Yeah. I picked up a bag of dog food the other day. I said, are these getting heavier or what, babe? I tell my wife, and she goes, well, actually, that one's 5 pounds less than the other one, because the other one had a deal on it. I go, well, this feels heavy. Hey, I better start working out. Can you say amen to that? Come on. Yeah, you guys are being nice. You guys just won't. Just, yeah, whatever. John 3:14-17. You see, for God so loved the world. Is that right? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved what? Who? The world. Why the world? How about just us? Is that everybody? That's all inclusive. Is that right? Everybody on the planet. You see, because they're all, every one of them are created by God, planned by God, have a destination from God, but not all follow. Is that right? All inclusive. They're all in the kingdom. They are all, the kingdom, they all have the kingdom within them. But they haven't accepted Christ to recognize the kingdom. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again to even see the kingdom. Is that all right? You must be born again. You've got to be born again to understand these things, to understand that the kingdom that dwelling in you comes to life, if you will. Can you say amen? That's what God does. It's a crazy thing. It's hidden. Things that have been hidden from the ages. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you know them? Aren't you glad you got a piece of them? Hallelujah. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. Whosoever. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If you read these scriptures, the very next scripture, and I don't know if you can put it up, Terry, but it says that they don't believe in God, they're already condemned. They're already condemned because they don't believe in the name of the Son, or only Son of God. Is that okay? But he said, whosoever, It's open to all. It's open to everybody. That's why you cannot say, I ain't going to talk to that guy. I don't like the way he looks. Well, I don't know. They treat me bad. Folks, everyone deserves a chance to be spoken to about the kingdom. Is that okay? Glory to God. That's why we're here. Bible says there is a door and Jesus is at the door. Is that right? Romans 3:20 says this. Look at this. Look at this. I like this scripture. Romans 3:20. Behold, right? I stand. Oh, I'm sorry. Revelation. I'm sorry. Did I say Romans? I did. I'm sorry. And boy, it starts with an R. Yeah, I was close. Yeah. Revelation 3:20. I'm sorry, Terry. No, I heard you say Revelation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him and he with me. I want you to picture this. Jesus said in the scriptures, I am the door. But he says, I stand at the door and knock. Is that okay? He says, I'm standing at the door. He says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him, feed you food, and he with me. Is that okay? Sitting with Jesus in your closet, at your dinner table, in your truck, in your car, wherever you are. But see, he wants to sup with you. He wants to be with you. He wants to teach you. But you've got to open the door. Now, I don't know why this is coming in this direction, but I will say that I don't know all of you in the house very well. Some of you might have never given your heart to the Lord. Some of you might not have made that decision that said, you know what, I'm tired of living outside the kingdom. I want to live inside the kingdom because the kingdom's already in me. I'm designed for the kingdom. Can you say amen? Amen? Would you all stand? Hallelujah. I want you to look at a couple of more scriptures. I want you to look at this. Hosea chapter 14, verses 1 and 2 says this. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for you have fallen by what? Your iniquity. Take with you words. Turn to the Lord and say to him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously so that we will render the calves of our lips. Is that right? You know what the calves were back then? The sacrifices. It says, we will use our lips to sacrifice to you, Lord. You see, he says, turn to the Lord your God. You've fallen by iniquity. I will say to you, let me just say this to you. You got to look at the kingdom of God. You got to hear what Jesus is saying. But folks, lust, pornography, these things that unforgiveness, hate, being deceitful, these things are not of the kingdom. And we can't continue to keep moving in those areas. We need to go. Oh, we need to go with what the Lord has for us. Can you say amen to that? You get rid of all of that. You watch what he begins to pour into you. But you got to come to him. You got to say, Lord, hey, I'm sorry. He's already washed you from your sins if you believe him. But sometimes there's things that go on in our lives that we still hold on to. Is that right? Yeah, you guys don't want to answer that. Okay, it's okay. But sometimes we do things that we know are contrary to the kingdom of God. And God is just saying, hey, it's working against you. Know that it's pushing against you, and I'm trying to get you closer so that you might be benefited by my spirit. Can you say amen to that? Don't ignore the spirit of God when he tells you something. If he tells you don't do it, don't do it. If he tells you to keep your mouth shut, what? What should you do? Keep your mouth shut. Can you say amen to that? If he tells you to forgive, what should you do? Forgive. Start operating like the kingdom. Can you say amen to that? And if you don't know what the kingdom is like, read the word. You'll find it. We will render the calves of our lips. Thank you, Father. One more scripture. Terry, would you put that last one up? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. I want you to hear this. God has gives us a perfect pattern to get to him. He says, I'm going to draw you in. And then he tells us in his word, take words with you and speak, because God is a word God. Can you say amen to that? Jesus was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So words are very important to God. What you say is very important to God. Don't think that you're out somewhere by yourself, that you can just say whatever you want to say. Repent and tell him, God, I don't want to say that anymore. I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm not going to speak those things. Because here he says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you're taking words. I'm going to confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. And believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. So speaking what's right with God. You're going to find that, because salvation, a lot of people think it is a immediate thing. Hey, you being born again is an immediate thing, but salvation takes a little time because God's got to clean you up. Can you say amen to that? You need to let the old man die and let the resurrection of Christ come dwelling in you, and then those things become very, very distant from you because you've released them. So what I want to do this morning, I want you to pray with me. I want you to say to the Lord what we just said, because I don't know everybody, but God does. Yeah. If you speak some of these things with your heart, know this. Know that he's hearing you. Is that okay? So would you bow your head? Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for coming to earth, living your life, and choosing to go to the cross and pay for my sins. Thank you, Lord. I confess you, Lord. Come into my heart. Cleanse my life. Cause me to know you by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Today is the day. Today, I will walk in newness of life according to your will and not mine. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Thank you for coming into my life and making me whole in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Now, if you're here and that's the first time you said something like that to the Lord with all your heart, know that he heard you. Tell somebody. Go out and tell somebody, hey, I really gave my heart to the Lord today. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. God bless you guys. Thank you for coming this morning. Hallelujah. Hope to see you next week. Terry will be preaching. Amen. Come on.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.